Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So our lead this hour comes from the NFL. It is a story that we have talked about numerous times over several years, the dubious contract status of Dakota Prescott. That's his real name. He goes by Dak, the quarterback in Dallas. And if you've not heard the latest twists and turns, that's why we're here. I'll help you out. So even if you have, I'm going to help you out. So we are told now the Cowboys hope, that's a weasel word, hope, right? I hope to make more money. Right, hope to do this. The Cowboys hope to complete a long-term contract with Dakota Prescott before franchise tag deadline day, which is coming up on March the 9th. We're in the final few days of the month of February. It's the shortest month of the year. The two-week tag, you're it window, is open for business. This is our Tuesday show, so today. Still late Monday on the West Coast, but Tuesday as it begins, and much speculation about what that really means in the real world. And Jerry Jones, who has been in talks with Dak Prescott, and really Dak Prescott's agent, over an extension for a very long amount of time. So let us discuss the question. Are you going to buy or sell that this time is different? That this time the Cowboys are going to extend Dak Prescott long-term, buy or sell? I am going to sell. I'm not buying it. I'll believe it when I see the signed contract. That's when I'll believe it. So I've got the gambling hall, totem pole, and the wild side. And we will tie all of these things together in a adequate Maller monologue. Now, A, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have been side by side at loggerheads for a very long time, as we laid out. Literally and figuratively, it has been a long, drawn-out process between both parties here, and they're closing in on 2 years! 2 years of negotiation without reaching common ground on an extension. But now this is supposed to be different. The NFL media is telling us it's going to be different now, that both sides are ready to hunker down and get a deal done. I imagine what's going on here is, you know, imagine if you were the back of a smoke-filled gambling hall with that thick, pungent cigar smoke, expensive booze flowing, and it's a high-stakes game of poker. That's what's going on here, and it's who's going to flinch first. The Cowboys have a price. They want to pay Dak. He's got a price he wants, and who's going to give it? Now, we would be very surprised if the Cowboys were the ones that gave in to Dak Prescott and gave him everything that he wanted. Now, why is that? Prescott, he does not have the leverage. Like, the uneducated fan says, well, he's got the leverage. Supply and demand. There's not that many quarterbacks. But that just shows you how naive you are to think Dak Prescott is better than he is. And the Cowboys, I think, realize that. I think they realize what they're dealing with here. Playing under the franchise tag last season led to a change in the situation. A gruesome injury. Remember, it was a game against the Giants, and now there is uncertainty that Dak Prescott will be able to perform at an elite level with a gimpy ankle. Now, you're in denial if you don't admit this. Some people have chosen not to admit this. They seem to think that everything's perfectly fine. I've seen the video. I've seen the photos. Dak Prescott needed multiple surgeries. One, he announced, the Cowboys announced it. The second one, they tried to keep hush-hush. The reason I believe they tried to keep that hush-hush is because that meant something went wrong, and they don't want that to get out because they're in a contract negotiation. But Dak's got a mutilated leg, and he's going to have to come back. And it's one thing to come back and play, but is he going to be able to play at a high level after that gruesome injury? Now, part B of this, if a deal cannot be reached by the magical deadline of March 9th, and the Cowboys are expected, you know what happens when you expect something, they're expected to use the franchise tag. Again, tag, you're it. Now, if that were to happen under this scenario, the Cowboys would pay Dak Prescott $37.7 million, which is slightly more than your favorite overnight gas bag gets paid to talk about sports, on a one-year deal. Now, as an unbiased, neutral, objective observer, this makes the most sense for everyone involved. Dak Prescott wants a short-term deal. That's all the reporting is. He don't want a long-term deal because he knows there'll be more money down the line. And it doesn't get shorter than a one-year deal. And that, in theory, would allow him to enter the market again in 2021. And we can do this mating dance all over again. Now, the NFL is about to ink massive new television contracts. The only one holding out right now is Disney, ESPN, ABC. The other ones are on board. They're going to write that big, fat check. And that will insulate the NFL even further from any kind of economic downturn that we have seen over the last year because of the pandemic. Now, Kirk Cousins, he is the guiding light. How does Kirk Cousins enter this particular play? Kirk Cousins is the guiding light that Dak Prescott should follow. We've said this before. We'll repeat it again. The Redskins, that's what they were called then. We can say that name. They were called the Redskins. They tagged Kirk Cousins twice. He then signed a pair of insane contracts with the Minnesota Vikings. And the only thing I know that he's done for sure in Minnesota that's good is he's eaten a lot of fast food chicken. We know that from our listeners in Minnesota, which I'm not complaining about. I do the same thing. But if you look at that as the template, Kirk Cousins has been near the top of the money list, certainly compared to his productivity on the field, his performance. So you shouldn't need a Venn diagram to point out what exactly is going on here. In fact, if you take a look at the totem pole of NFL quarterbacks, Dak Prescott is side by side with Kirk Cousins. They're in the same category. I have them in the same category. You can only dream of sitting in the front of the class or the top of the totem pole where Patrick Mahomes happens to be. But Dak Prescott's, if you look at his historical comps based on his productivity as an NFL player, he is career-wise in the Carson Palmer, Scott Mitchell, if you're old school, Aaron Brooks, who's also apparently old school at this point. But those are the contemporaries of Dak Prescott. So don't fool yourself and don't hornswoggle yourself into thinking he's something better than he is. Now, the last word here. Jerry Jones, cruising around somewhere in a yacht or buying some kind of cheap booze at a gas station in Texas. Jerry Jones should take a walk on the wild side. Now, I already said that the thing that makes the most sense is the franchise tag. But there are options. All right? There always are options. There's options with the franchise tag. And as you know, because you're a football hardo, if Jerry wants to take a ride on the wild side, call Dak Prescott's bluff. Up the ante a little bit. All right? Who doesn't like, it's not my money. Raise the stakes. Rather than play it safe with the exclusive franchise tag, the Cowboys, they really want to get out and put their neck out there. And I think they should because it's good for talk radio. They should activate the non-exclusive franchise tag on Dak Prescott. What's the difference? I'll tell you. Now, just like the exclusive franchise tag, the non-exclusive tag carries a one-year tender. And the total of that, no less than the average of the top five salaries of that position group. In this case, obviously, it's quarterback. So Dak's guaranteed of getting that. Now, that said, the thing that makes this interesting and raises the stakes is that the non-exclusive franchise tag would allow Dak Prescott to negotiate with other teams on a contract. Right? Let the market set the price. Will we have a bidding war? Will we have a bidding war for Dak Prescott? I say no. And even if we did, Dallas, hypothetically, would have the right to match any outrageous offer. Now, if the Cowboys elected to not match the offer in this scenario, they would receive not one, but two first-round picks as compensation for their trouble. So who would make a big money run at Dak Prescott under these conditions here. Now, using the patented Maller spitball technique, it's a Maller show exclusive. We can certainly guesstimate that the Chicago Bears, who are the rudderless ship at the quarterback position, would be interested. The Washington team to be named later would also be on that list. You'd have to throw Philadelphia in there, considering the fact that the Eagles traded Carson Wentz. He was a stiff. And they don't apparently love Jalen Hurts all that much. They want to bring somebody else in. So it's a division opponent, so you'd say Philadelphia. And then I toss San Francisco out there as a wild card. They appear to be parting ways with Jimmy Garoppolo. He'll be a salary cap casualty more likely than not. And so that would open up a slot there for the 49ers. The only risk for the Cowboys, the only risk in the non-exclusive franchise tag is the dreaded poison pill that would prevent Jerry Jones from matching. Some language in there and the fine print and the minutia of the contract that would have some kind of amazing bonuses kick in that would persuade Jerry Jones not to do that. It's a very small risk. It is a risk. It's worth the drama. I'm all about the drama in this case because I'm looking out for number one here, the show. And so that's where we are with Dak Prescott at this particular moment in time, this little snapshot in time as it is the beginning. It's always a big day in my house. I don't know about your house, but franchise tag deadline, period. When that opens up, when that window opens up, boy, is that exciting. Man, we have like a party. It's awesome. It's just magical. It really is. No, I'm not kidding. Unless I am.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So early this hour comes from speculation in the NFL involving the bean counters. It is our daily look at the great quarterback migration of 2021. We've had a couple of quarterbacks change teams. Carson Wentz going to the Colts. Matthew Stafford to the Rams. Jared Goff going back to Detroit in that transaction. But what about the tenuous situation for Las Vegas quarterback Derek Carr? If you've not been following, there were some new developments percolating in the last 24 hours. Perhaps you missed it. So we have learned the Raiders are in talks on a contract extension to keep Derek Carr in Sin City for multiple seasons. Now, that was the initial report. Not everyone agrees with that. There's others saying it's not true. So it's he said, and we are left to parse the reporting and decide what we believe and what we don't believe. There are some that say this is just posturing by the silver and black to increase trade value, to up the ante on a hypothetical trade for Derek Carr. So let us discuss the question, is a Derek Carr contract extension a prudent move for the Raiders? Would it be a prudent move? Now, I am actually going to use my veto power. I'm going to veto this. Now, again, I'm not a Raider guy. I got nothing with the Raiders at all, but I'm going to veto the Derek Carr extension. My observations, you've got zoo animals, ballpoint pens, and roller coaster. And we will lock all of this together. Number one. John Gruden got a forever contract. Good for him, Mazel Tov, from the Raiders and Mark Davis. And he continues to do perplexing things with the roster. He's all over the place. He's over here. He's over there. He's everywhere. Now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this for now because it is not a done deal. Once this does become a done deal, then we will have a different conversation. The Derek Carr extension chatter is still in the embryo stage. It's in the rumor stage. So you've got the micro and the macro involved in this, and we'll start by focusing in on the macro, which is the long game. Plausibly, the Raiders would like to be a playoff team. I think that's the goal everyone has, and many try to win a championship. They aspire to win a championship. But start with the playoffs. Contend for the Super Bowl year after year. Derek Carr has had his chance, and he's had another chance, and another chance, and another one. And Carr has put all of his playing cards on the table as an NFL quarterback. And for the most part, the card that keeps coming up at the very top there is a joker. Okay, is a joker. When you evaluate the quarterback market and you look around, you have the haves and the have-nots. And Derek Carr is certainly not in the haves. He's closer to the have-nots. He's closer to the have-nots. He's an adequate player right in the middle of the bell curve. In fact, if you go back to 2017 and you make that the point of demarcation, Derek Carr has been graded as the 15th best quarterback in the NFL by the nerds at Pro Football Focus. Now, winning big games is generally not a tool that he has in his toolbox. What's my evidence? The Raiders, since Derek Carr took over, he has a 7-year reign of terror as the Raider quarterback. I barely remember when they were in Oakland, but if you go back to their days in Oakland, the Raiders, with Derek Carr as their quarterback, have had one winning season. Number one! One winning season in 7 years with Derek Carr at quarterback. He's never appeared in a playoff game. Keep in mind that most quarterbacks only get a 3 or 4 year window. And he continues, Derek Carr, to be run out there as the Raider quarterback. And now we're supposed to believe that with that resume, 7 years, one winning season under his leadership as the quarterback on the field, pretty average numbers across the board, that you're going to give this guy an extension? You're going to double down? Are you smoking bath salts? And does Carr have some kind of compromising photos of certain executives with zoo animals? I mean, what are we doing here? Now, the second thing, in terms of the macro, we've already talked about the macro, now the micro, rather. So you have the devil's advocate approach. All right, so you have the devil's advocate approach. The salary cap watchdogs, and I'm a salary cap truther. The salary cap watchdogs claim that this would be a brilliant move in the micro, in the short term, if the Raiders can sign Derek Carr to an extension. Why? Because a short-term extension would lower Derek Carr's salary cap number and keep him under contract for the next several seasons. The price would be at a lower level, and then they'd have to sign him before Dak Prescott gets his deal and before Lamar Jackson signs a extension with the Ravens. This, of course, assumes that both of those moves are going to happen. That is debatable. The Cowboys, as we talked about in a previous hour of this show, have been slow-walking contract talks with Dak Prescott, and the Ravens don't have to give Lamar Jackson a new contract this offseason. Many think they will, and that's going to happen soon, but they don't have to. All you have to know about this Derek Carr story is this. The other teams in the division, if you look around the landscape in the AFC West, and you look to Denver, Kansas City, and Los Angeles, all of those franchises and their fan bases would fully endorse a hypothetical Derek Carr contract extension. In fact, I would imagine if this is actually going to happen, those teams will send a limo and a big giant box of ballpoint pens to have him sign the contract on the dotted line. It is a balloon and cake worthy party at the Hootenanny. All right, final point. So Derek Carr, the Derek Carr quagmire with the Raiders is a microcosm of the mismanagement under John Gruden. Now again, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt because this is all just chatter. We'd like to think that calmer heads will prevail and the Raiders will not do this. But 1 year ago, right? 1 year ago, what was the talk? We were all here gathered around the microphone and the radio, the magic radio box. And a year ago, it was the Raiders were flirting with Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady, he decided to go to the sunshine of Florida, turned down the Raiders. Gruden was willing to give Derek Carr away for a song and a dance, and maybe not even the dance, maybe just a song. You don't have to have the dance. The fish were not biting. They weren't. And now here we are a year later, and we're supposed to believe that after an 8-8 season with Derek Carr, where he got worse and didn't get better as the season progressed there, that we're supposed to believe that after an up-and-down season at 8-8, now Derek Carr is untouchable and he has to get an extension? Is this bizarro world? What's going on here? So watching Derek Carr, he is a bit of a roller coaster. He's a human roller coaster. He's up and he's down and he's up and he's down. And then you got the corkscrew kind of turn situation here. The 2020 Raiders were riding high on the hog. We're off to a 5-3 start midway through, looking like a legitimate playoff team in the AFC. And at that point, if you hit the pause button, Derek Carr, midway through the Raiders season, winning record, on their way to a 10-win season, Derek Carr had 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a passer rating of 110. He was one of the top quarterbacks in pro football. His numbers backed that up. And then reality set in. And everyone likes to blame the defense and blame this and that and the other thing. But down the stretch, Derek Carr, the final 8 games of the season, with the Raiders in position to make the playoffs as a wild card, Derek Carr had 11 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and a passer rating below 93, and Vegas descended into the abyss of mediocrity in the second half of the season, finishing at 8-8, and Derek Carr turns 30 years old next month, which is not old, but how much better is he going to get? That's the question. That's the fundamental question. How much better is he going to get? Unless you're just okay with adequate. Maybe you're okay with adequate. Maybe that's where how pathetic the Raider franchise is. They've gone from just win, baby, to just be adequate, baby. That's the Raiders.
The greatness
right?
of the Raiders.
And listen, you know the answer and I know the answer as far as how much better Derek Carr is going to get. Right? This is a take-it-or-leave-it situation. Either you're okay with the player that Derek Carr is right now, or you're not. A leopard cannot change its spots. Derek Carr is the old check down Charlie. Not going to change from that. The Raiders would be better off trading Derek Carr if there is such a market for him. We don't think there is, but if there was, send him packing, kick him to the curb, and go out. And this, I'd be fine with Marcus Mariota. I'd be fine with that. To me, at worst, that's a lateral move. At worst, that's a lateral move. Mariota has actually led a team to the playoffs. He's won a playoff game, and he's only had 4 years as a regular starting quarterback in the NFL, but 3 of those 4 years with the Titans, his team finished with a winning record. How about that? Derek Carr, 7 years with the Raiders, 1 season where they finished with a winning record, and Mariota had 3 of them when he played in Nashville as the starting quarterback. Not that I think Mariota's amazing. I don't. But he's in that same rung of quarterbacks as Derek Carr is. So we'll see what happens with this story. But again, the chatter, if you missed the beginning, is that Derek Carr is in talks for an extension with the Raiders. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Here we go!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Coop Dalu.
So yesterday you talked about Cam Newton getting heckled for his poor play by a teenager at his football camp. Well, Newton told the media that the reason for his poor play was the time that he missed for having COVID. And Newton said it set him back for the whole season. You buying that, Ben?
No. I'm not. I don't like the excuse game. I don't like that. Was it COVID's fault when Cam failed to jump on the fumble in the Super Bowl with Carolina? Or Cam's been bad since like 2018, right? The wheels started coming off the bus in 2018. And the lack of offseason and practice time, that doesn't fly. There's a guy named Tom Brady. Hello! He did pretty well without the practice time with his new teammates and all that. Listen, Cam needs to play better. Stop with the excuses. Next!
Now, it was reported over the weekend that the Rockets plan on parting ways with DeMarcus Cousins. You kind of alluded to this earlier in the show.
Yep.
After they deciding that they wanted to go with a smaller lineup. Now, Ben, to call Cousins injury-prone at this point is an understatement.
Yeah.
Do you think he's shown enough this year to really contribute on a contender?
No. I mean, at best, it's a moderate situation. Like, Cousins can score and get rebounds, but he's not available. He doesn't play enough. Right, he's always hurt. The Rockets put Cousins on the injury list. He's got right heel soreness, although some think they're just doing that so they can get rid of him and not have him stay injured. Or you know, they are doing that for gamesmanship. All right, next.
Now, Mike Conley has long been considered the best veteran to never make an All-Star team. Conley has let it be known that he hopes it'll happen this year. It's important to him. His teammates Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have been pushing for it to happen. Should it? Will it?
Well, I hope it doesn't, because that's what Mike Conley's known as. He's known as the great player that never made the All-Star team. And statistically, he does deserve to be an All-Star. The Jazz have a great record. He's got, I think, the second best plus-minus rating in the NBA this season. The problem is he plays in Salt Lake. It's not a glamour market. No Jazz starters in the All-Star game, so that means Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are going to be reserves. Are they going to take three Utah Jazz players as backups? It's unlikely. How do we do?
You pass this edition.
That's a winner! Woo!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. It's Maller's Mountain of Money. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Farmers. Call Farmers today for a quote. Let's welcome in our contestants for this edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. And who do we have? We've got, let's see here. We've got Chris in Houston who's going to play. Hello, Chris.
Oh, it's always fun knocking you down a peg, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be a Martina Navratilova answer from you, one of the great moments on the show.
Hey, that was a win, so who cares?
Nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers that. The outcome is irrelevant. The only thing that stood the test of time was that soundbite. So, all right, hold on a sec, Chris. You're going to play Chris the Regular in Houston. And we have Lenny the Crypt Keeper. Hello, Lenny. What's going on, Lenny?
Oh, what's up, buddy? I'm trying to dethrone Justin for a bit.
Well, that's the wrong game, though, Lenny. You called up to play Maller's Mountain of Money here.
Yeah, I'm a game show whore. I got to get in.
he wants to win the Benny.
Oh, he's trying to win the Benny. Okay. All right. We'll try to win the game. How about that? Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Very good. Hold on a second, Lenny. Chris, who do you want to partner up with? Chris in Houston. You're going to lose either way, but who do you want to partner up with?
You know, I'm partnering up with Eddie. And hey, at least Lenny doesn't use his golden tickets like Justin does.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Lenny, who do you want to partner up with, Lenny?
Of course you, Benjamin.
All right, it's Lenny and Benny show. Lenny and Benny. All right, what do we have?
All right, gentlemen, this is Maller's Mountain of Money, the Drew Barrymore edition. She turns 46 years old today.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. The categories are E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Never Been Kissed, 50 First Dates, and Miss You Already. Chris, you were on first. Which category would you like?
E.T.
E.T.
Phone home.
All right.
That's appropriate.
And Lenny, right. Which category would you like?
50 First Dates.
50 First Dates.
Okay.
All right. Chris and Eddie, you guys are up first. You guys all know the rules. Need first and last name, 45 seconds. These pro athletes weren't born in the USA. They're aliens. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
The Greek Freak.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Dream for the Houston Rockets.
Akeem Olajuwon.
Current Dallas star from Slovenia.
Luka Doncic.
White Sox slugger from Cuba. He was the AL MVP last year.
That will be passed.
The Nigerian Nightmare.
Christian Okoye.
Wide receiver for the Raiders. He used to be with the Eagles. He's out of USC.
Jet. Last name Jet.
No. Former Dodger pitcher, Asian guy. He once karate kicked Tim Belcher when he charged the mound, I believe, back in the day. From Korea, I believe.
Come on, Chris. Wow. Chris. Yeah, surprising.
Was I right on the Belcher thing?
Yes, you were.
Yeah, right, Eddie. Yeah.
I was at that game. I recreated that moment on the radio. It was awesome. Karate kick, one of the great things I've ever seen at a ball game.
I know. That was amazing.
You did not get Jose Abreu, Nelson Aguilar, or Chan Ho Park.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu.
Other than that, you were perfect.
All right. 120 points. Lenny and Ben, you guys are up. Your category is 50 First Dates. These athletes have all suffered disorienting head injuries. 45 seconds on the clock. This is a tough one. Begin.
All right. Let's start with the toughest one of them all. He was coach of the Rockets. He got punched by Kermit Washington. Correct.
Wow.
All right.
That's an old school listener
all right
there.
Quarterback for the Chiefs right now was in the Super Bowl this year.
Mahomes.
What's his first name? Quarterback for the 49ers after Joe Montana.
Steve Young.
Yes, quarterback for the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl in 2013. I think it was 2011.
Flacco.
Yeah.
Flacco.
What's his first name? First name?
Ben Flacco.
No, my, oh my God.
Joe Flacco.
Yes, Yankee slugger. He was with the Marlins. He came to the Bronx Bombers in a big trade. He's on the,
Lenny.
Come on, Lenny. Lenny, you got the toughest. Lenny, you got the toughest one of them all. Rudy Tomjanovich, you got that right away. Oh, my God.
You guys are in the
Rudy
lead.
Rudy was the easiest.
You guys are in the lead, 150 points.
Oh, my God.
That's because you know him because of Houston. Anyway, back over to Chris and Eddie. Chris, do you want Never Been Kissed or Miss You Already?
Miss You Already.
All right. These athletes retired within the last 3 years. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
Former Miami Heat star married to Gabrielle Union.
Dwayne Wade.
Tight end for the Cowboys for many, many years. He was a failure in Monday Night Football.
Jason
Witten. Heisman Trophy winner from Florida. Loves Jesus. Quarterback. Failed quarterback. Spurs point guard. Was married to
Tony Parker.
Yes. Yankees and Indians, big African-American pitcher, big guy, first initials. Yes. Former Texans quarterback out of Virginia. Yes. Shortstop for the Rockies mostly, good hitter.
That dude just freaking retired too. I don't know.
Yeah, Troy Tulowitzki. Still a good job. Very good job.
He got lucky because the Houston one.
That's all right. Better be lucky than good.
380 is the score to
hurry
beat.
Hurry up.
All right, Lenny, 50. Oh, wait, no. Never Been Kissed. These athletes have never kissed a championship trophy. 45 seconds. Begin.
All right. The round mound rebound.
Charles Barkley.
Yes. Quarterback for the Bills when they kept losing the Super Bowl in the 90s.
Kelly.
Yes, tight end for the San Diego Chargers / L.A. Chargers. He just retired a couple years ago.
Gates. Antonio Gates.
Yes, Mr. Padre, number 19, the Hall of Famer.
Carl Gwynn.
Yes, Nugget Center sounded like a Cookie Monster for the Nuggets.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Yes, number 9 for the Red Sox, the last player to bat 400.
In baseball. Williams.
Yes. Houston Oilers Hall of Fame lineman. He never won anything with the Oilers. He's got kids playing in the NFL. Clay played in the NFL. Linebacker for the Packers. Come on!
It was enough anyway. 390 to 380.
Yeah! Take that!
Boo.
You lose, Chris! You loser! You suck at this!
What was the final score, Kurt?
It was 390 to 380.
Chris, you blew it, man.